Shall we bow our heads together for a word of prayer? Our Father, we are grateful that another opportunity has come for us to study thy word together. We do ask today that thou wilt open the word that we might be able to behold wonderful things out of thy law, as the psalmist expressed it. And as we see these wonderful things, we ask that we will have the insight to apply those things to our lives. We come to you, Father, too, today, asking that thou wilt meet our individual needs. We realize that we can't know the needs of everyone, all of us together, but thou dost know our down-sitting and our uprising. Thou dost know our thoughts afar off, and you know. Yes, Father, as we learn in this portion of the word, we're thinking about thou dost know what we have need of. And yet thou dost like for us to ask, and we do ask today that thou wilt meet our needs, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You have your Bibles and are able to open them. Will you do so, please, to the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, that portion of the word we are considering at the present time. You will remember that in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, there is listed a number of righteous acts that we are considering as part of the believer's life, if he is going to be well-pleasing to the Lord. Some of those righteous acts we noticed under the title of acts of kindness. And then we thought about the subject of prayer. And today, as we come to study the word together, we want to talk with you about the subject of fasting. There is a simple statement concerning fasting and how we ought to do it as believers here in Matthew 6. But we are not going to limit our discussion solely to what we find here in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, but we're going to examine what is said in other portions of the Word of God about the subject, because the subject of fasting is a subject about which there is a great deal of misunderstanding, and we would like to know exactly what the Word of God has to say. We probably will only be able to begin the discussion, but we will find out what God's Word says, so stay with us. But notice the words, Matthew chapter 6, the paragraph which begins with verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Now, as we glance back over this paragraph, we find that we are warned against the wrong attitude related to fasting. And when we began an introductory discussion of this 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we said that it was important that all of these righteous acts should be performed in the right perspective. And so we notice in this particular paragraph, if you are fasting, that is, if you do fast, you ought to do it unto the Lord and not for the praise of men. The interesting thing about this paragraph, however, as it introduces to us the subject of fasting, is that it recognizes fasting as an established practice. The Lord Jesus did not say, if you fast, as though it were something that were done occasionally. He said, when you fast, do thus and so. Let us settle in our minds that we are talking about a definite practice which is taught in the Word of God. I mentioned a bit ago that there's a great deal of confusion about what we mean by fasting, and much has been added to the actual fasting process which makes some things about fasting seem rather way out, just as there has been added to a number of truths in the Word of God, the things that put a disproportionate emphasis on truth in the Word. We need to look at the Word as it actually is. So let me suggest to you that when we use the word fasting, we are using the meaning of the word in the original text. The original text, translated fast here in the scripture, is the Greek word nistuo, which simply refers to the practice of not eating. Now that's all that's involved in the word itself. A prayer may be associated with fasting, but you can fast and not pray. You can pray and not fast. A number of things may be associated with the practice of fasting, but essentially, it is a reference to the fact that for whatever reason, you abstain from eating food. Let us settle that that is the primary meaning of the word. That is the simplistic meaning of the word. Now, I would like to notice with you several passages of Scripture scattered throughout the Word of God in which we're going to find what God actually says about fasting so that we might be able to see what the relationship of fasting is to us in our relationship to God, because that's the subject matter of the sixth chapter, isn't it? We said that in an earlier study. I think we should begin with a consideration of the kinds of fasting which are mentioned in the Word of God. Essentially, there are two kinds. One we might call national, or being more particularly Israel's fast, of which there are four definite ones mentioned in the Scripture. Fasting was a national practice commanded by God for the nation of Israel. And in that regard, there were four national fast days set aside for Israel. Definite information about those four fast days are given in our outline studies, which are yours by request. We are more interested, however, in the other kind of fasts which are described in the Word of God, which I describe with the phrase individual fasts or individual fasting. These have no connection with national history of any kind. They are fasts which individuals have or have not observed. Now, the first one we find described for us in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. That is a reference to the fast of the Lord Jesus Christ before his temptation. You will recall that he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And when the fast was over, two things, we are told, would indicate to us that this was a fast which included only abstinence from food. One of them is that the devil tempted the Lord Jesus Christ to turn stones into bread. He did not tempt him to turn plants into water. That would be one indication that his need was related to food and not to water. And then when the angels came and ministered to the Lord Jesus, they ministered to him in the area of food, not in the area of water. This would indicate, as other passages of Scripture do, that when you fast, you can abstain from food, but you may drink water or some other liquid. But abstinence from food is one kind of fast that is described in the Word of God. This passage of Scripture is not the only reference to this type of fasting, but we've drawn it to your attention because it is familiar to most of you, I think. Now, a second kind of fast is described in Acts chapter 9, verse 9, which describes abstinence from food and, listen carefully, abstinence from drink as well. The apostle, we are told, the apostle Paul, at the time of his conversion experience, which is recorded in Acts chapter 9, for 3 days did without anything, food or drink, either one, as he waited upon the Lord. Now, the Scripture does not describe the purpose of his waiting there. There could be several reasons, but it was a time of communion and fellowship with the Lord, and he abstained from both food and drink. True, Ananias, whom God wanted to send to Paul with a message, was a bit slow in going, but anyway, the Scripture does not explicitly say why he waited or fasted 3 days without food or drink. Now, we've looked at two kinds of fasting, abstinence from food and drink. The third kind of fasting, which is mentioned in the Bible, is referred to in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 8, a familiar passage of Scripture. Daniel and his compatriots abstained from certain kinds of food. They did not abstain from all food. They did not abstain from food and drink, but they abstained from certain kinds of food. When they were offered the wine and the meat of the kingdom of Babylon, they felt led of God to fast in the sense that they abstained from the king's meat. So, there are three kinds of fasting mentioned in the Word of God: abstinence from food, abstinence from food and drink, and abstinence from certain kinds of food. Well, there are the descriptions of fasting. But I think the question which I am asked more than any other in regard to fasting is, what's the purpose of it? What good does it do? Well, of course, we might answer the question by saying that generally it does very little good for most people, because most people approach fasting in the same manner that is described earlier here in this chapter. We fast quite often that we might gain some sort of glory for ourselves instead of noticing or following the original purpose for which it is intended. I think in order to understand the real purpose of fasting and not be bothered with what we think or what someone else thinks, we need to find out what fasting accomplished, as the purpose of it is portrayed for us in the Word of God. And in our next study, we will begin a discussion with you of the purpose of fasting. I hope that you will be able to be with us and perhaps invite someone else to be listening to this most important discussion that is so vital in our Christian experience.